Hello, greetings, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I am your host, Lance White, also known as the Zany Mystic. I'm truly delighted tonight to have someone special on the show, Liane Lege. Liane is the co-founder of the Humanity Healing Network and sits on the board of directors for the Humanity Healing Foundation. Liane's professional life has been incredibly varied. She is an anthropologist and degreed economist who has worked for the Brazilian State Commerce Department, was a bank auditor, a radio talk show personality, and newspaper feature writer in Brazil. Also, a prominent tarot reader and astrologer for the state of Bahia, Brazil. Included is an organic farming and a death row minister, not to mention a mother of four, which is a full-time job in itself. Shortly after Liane moved to America, she was the victim of a drunk driver and nearly lost her life. During the months she spent unable to move, while her body mended, she made a commitment to God that if she recovered, she would complete the 14 acts of mercy. The last two of the 14 acts of mercy Liane completed were the consolation of the doubtful and the comfort of the sorrowful. These took the form of an inspirational MyPace page dedicated to random acts of kindness. This site became very well known and topped 17,000 friends in the first year. It was through MySpace that she met Chris Buck and together created Humanity Healing based on the concept of a multifaceted approach to healing by combining alternative healing modalities with spiritual growth and counseling. Liane sees the materialization of Humanity Healing as part of her soul contract and feels very blessed to have connected with so many who share a similar dream of ordinary individuals coming together to make a significant difference in this world. So, let's meet her right now. Hi, Liane, how are you?
How are you, Zany? Thank you for having me.
And do we also have Chris Buck on the phone?
Oh, yes.
Yes, I'm on the phone also.
Okay, good. You're going to have to speak up as clearly and loudly as you can because I'm having difficulty hearing you.
All right.
Okay, good. Liane, I thought we might just fill in some of these blanks from your earlier life because it's so interesting.
Okay.
I mean, you've done so many things. I'm more interested in focusing on some of the metaphysical and spiritual aspects of your early days, being an astrologer, a tarot reader, and I think you were involved in a mystery school, weren't you?
Yeah, actually more than one.
Well, let's hear all about it.
Oh, my God.
A little bit.
Well, you know, how can I start that? It starts, you know, when I was a little girl, as usual. You know, I grew up in a very strict Catholic family.
Uh-huh.
In Brazil, you know, it's very variety. There's a lot of variety of different religions. You're either Catholic or you're Catholic. You know, there's no much difference. I remember the first time I met somebody that was not Catholic, and I almost had a attack. I said, oh, my God, is this? I just had, you know, the idea on history books.
Okay.
Okay.
Are we on separate lines now? I hope so. Audience, I need to tell you that due to some line difficulties, we're going to be going on a quick break, and we'll be right back. Liane, you were saying that you were Catholic and you were born in Brazil you tell the story.
Okay, that's fine. So, like I said, in Brazil, you know, now it's the reality is different. But when I was growing up, you either are, you know, you grow up as a Catholic or you grow up as a Catholic. There's no middle term there.
Don't forget the Catholics.
And there's the Catholics too. But and then my family was very strict. But I couldn't conform to it. for instance, for me, you know, like I was telling my son the other day, that for me to see people, I thought they visited, but saw. So I saw people that you could say were not there. And for me, it was like, they're here, you know. It wasn't something special. I thought that everybody was seeing, or the experiences that I had was common. To, you know, I learned the hard way. I told Grandma. And then she said, oh, my God. You know, we have to work on you, because as you're going, you know, the best thing that can happen to you is you to end up in purgatory.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was a very good thing.
They thought that was demons, didn't they?
Yeah, but you know, it was not only demons. Like, it was interesting. My grandmother was devoted to Saint Anthony. And in Brazil, like a good Catholic, we have all the images, and you get in anybody's house, the first thing you see, you know, is a table on the front, the foyer, with all the saints.
Yeah.
And my grandmother was devoted to Saint Anthony, which, by the way, hates me, but, you know, and, yeah, it's a long story about Saint Anthony. But, you know, many times I got there, and I passed there, and there was I saw fire near the images, like a person, and I thought it was something that was supposed to be there, because there was no difference of perceiving that.
Uh-huh.
And then one day I told her, and then she said, oh, my God, we have to work on you. But, you know, and then I tried to repress this a little while, but when more or less when I was 16 to 17 years old, one day I woke up in the middle of the night with this beautiful lady sitting on the, you know, on my bed. And then she said, well, you know, I came because it's time for you to wake, to be awake and work. And I said, okay, in the middle of the night, and, you know, how did you get in? You know, I was like, okay. And ever since, you know, she has been my spiritual guide, and, you know, everything I have been doing, it's basically with her assistance,
wow.
Direct assistance. You know, I enter Mystery School because I needed something else that the Catholic Church could not, you know,
right.
Answer.
Right.
So I entered the Rosicrucians. I did, you know, the Atrium degrees, and then I did Temple degrees. I entered the Templars.
Oh.
I did Templars too, and nowadays I work with the Legion of St. Michael.
Oh.
As well. So those are some of my background.
Wow.
Well.
Now, so that really was kind of the moment that you had an official awakening, was when you saw her on the bed and she said, "It's time for you to awaken."
Yes.
Now.
Yeah, and an interesting fact about her is that she called herself a gypsy. And one of my questions was, where this came from? You know, it's not a tradition in my family, the tarot cards. And she presented to me the tarot cards, and she taught me how to read the tarot cards and how to make, you know, correspondences between the tarot cards and the astrological charts.
Uh-huh.
And some stuff that really never came from books.
Wow.
For the things that I, you know, all the initiations I did in different mystery schools. And so I asked her, why you call yourself a gypsy? And then she said, because I was assigned to you, but you have the free will. If you're not willing to work, someone else will.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not attached to you, and you're not attached to me.
Oh.
This is a journey.
Interesting. So she's kind of like a traveling guide.
Yeah, she's a traveling guide.
Does she have a suitcase?
Actually, she does. And it's funny. It's also because I don't know if you read in my blog this week. I had a dream. I just wanted to make this as a comment because I don't have many encounters with angels,
uh-huh.
But every time I have encounters with angels, it's through dreams, and my dreams are just psychedelic. good thing. I don't use drugs and I don't drink or any type of medication. Otherwise, people will think that I'm just plain old crazy. I had a dream with an angel recently. And angels just show up in my life usually when I am under a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And certainly I was, like the rest of America right now.
Yeah.
We are living this very particular unique moment. So the angel talked to me about some stuff, and one of the things they talked to me was, I thought was funny, that the most recent, let's say, creation of God, or, you know, most recent, actually it's not something, it maybe was new for me, but, you know, amazingly enough, Karen Bishop talked about this. A couple of days later, I read that she said the same. A new grid of manifestation on earth.
Hmm.
And the angel said, you know, be sure to tell everyone that you know that this is working now. It's almost, you know, immediate manifestation. And you will be so surprised, the angel said to me. It's faster than Gmail. I said, oh. Yeah, I said, it's almost, you know, instant. It's faster than Gmail. And I said, well, that is interesting.
Wow.
I was thinking, not that I expected less from God, but, and I asked him, are you my guardian angel? Or he said, no, I worked on Chicago Airport. I know, they have a sense of humor.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they do. I do know that.
Yeah, I know. I even put in my blog the last time I had a contact with an angel was a long time ago. I was really going through a very hard phase in my life, and I had this little organic farm in California, and I had ducks, and I had geese, and I had all sorts of animals, which were my pets. And one night, I dreamed of my ducks, and they were doing a decoy duck just to scare me when I was passing with their food. And I just noticed, because the decoy duck starts singing, I left my heart in San Francisco. And to be my guardian angel, because I'm telling you, this did not come from me. You know, this
wow.
is peculiar.
Well, while you mentioned your blog a couple of times, why don't you tell the listeners what your blog address is so that they can go check it out?
Well, I basically just post in two places, inside of our Yahoo group,
mm-hmm.
which is a health group over Yahoo, of course, where we deal with inspirational material healing and basically a broad support from healers to healers or
uh-huh.
people that want to learn. I post there, and I post over MySpace, my page over MySpace, which is basically what I have nowadays. I cannot have anything else, please. You want my URL on MySpace?
Yes, so that people can check it out.
Okay. Let me see my profile. I have to look at my profile. I have no idea. I think it's MySpace/ random acts kindness. Of kindness was taken.
Okay.
Oh, RAK, R-A-K.
Okay, and so now let's move forward to your accident.
All right.
This was, because I want to kind of, I'm working into segueing into the humanity healing aspect and getting Chris into this too. Was your accident another turning point for you?
Oh, most definitely. That was an interesting thing. It was in January 7th of 2000.
Wow.
And it was an interesting thing because most people didn't believe, but I did believe. I believe in things. I did believe in Y2K. So on 1 week before the accident, I piled up the house. I had four kids. I piled up the house with food, and I was like, trying to do everything possible if we were going for 2 weeks of blackouts and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just happened to be my wedding anniversary.
Oh, my gosh.
And I ran out of milk.
Yeah, right.
And then I went, and my husband came home from work, and I said, well, let's get some milk because you never know, the Y2K can come. and here we are. So we went to the milk, and we, you know, buy milk, and then stopped. It was sitting there in the stop sign. This big truck came and demolished us.
Oh, my goodness.
It was an interesting experience.
Well, did you have an out-of-body experience?
You know, I did, but you see, the problem with that was I got in the hospital, and I was in so much pain that they gave me morphine.
Right.
And I'm allergic to morphine.
Oh.
So the big, I went to a coma, but what they said is, where I was, I don't remember what happened there. I remember that I was extremely happy. And I was just so happy. I was really happy. I just remember the sensation of being home. I don't remember anything, but, you know, I talked with some people after that had the same experience, and they said that the fact that I don't have memories, just the sensation, was because the morphine usually neutralizes the memories.
Oh.
It kind of erases.
Okay.
Leaves the sensation, but erases. Like people that are under, the influence of any one of those painkiller drugs during a process of near death.
Huh. So then, was that like another awakening for you when you went through that?
And it was a rude one, because when I came back, you know, I look at, you know, I opened my eyes, and the doctor was like a kind of softly slapping my face.
Uh-huh.
And I saw my husband, and I said, oh, no, no, I want to go back. I just want to go back. I was so good there. And I mean, you know, it was hard to see reality again. And
oh, yeah.
Kind of,
something. Understand.
But it wasn't awakened. But it took me 18 months, because when something happened like this with your life, the first thing you think is like, why me?
Yeah.
I'm doing everything right, you know. I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to do, and certainly show you to a point that you have to question what is really your life purpose and what you came to do. And I truly believe that I actually renegotiate my contract.
Yes.
You know, I truly believe that.
Yeah. You were probably angry, too, that happened over a thing of milk. Why should it have been something important?
It was, like, the most expensive milk I ever had in my life, I'm going to tell you. And it's an entire new different process of learning when you are a victim of an accident.
Oh, yes, I've been through that,
you have
too.
To deal with the health system, and you have to deal with insurance companies, which is very delightful. Then you have to deal with doctors, and you have to deal not only with your anger, but like in my case, we had four kids, and my husband and I, we were in bed. My husband went through five surgeries to reconstruct his leg.
Whoa.
My injuries were like, I broke every single rib.
Wow.
And I fractured my foot and leg and broke my ACL. I lost meniscus and I lost some tendons. And you know, but none of this is, the leg was so swollen that the hospital didn't see it. So I went back home, and, you know, they practically were saying that I was throwing fit. And I said, okay, I'm throwing a fit. Let me put myself together. And then why me? Why can't I walk then? You know, I'm not throwing fit. I actually have a resistance of the pain level. My level of pain is higher than others. I don't feel pain as much.
Mm-mm.
Physical pain. As other people do.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't understand that. But then I had to stop and think with myself. Then when they found out after a lot of other doctors and different exams what injuries I really had.
Yeah.
I had to relearn in 18 months how to walk again.
Oh, geez.
So it gives you time to think. You know?
Yeah,
And
was that kind of the seed for the Humanity Healing Group that you were project that you were that you're working on now?
Yes and no. At that point, I thought still, at that moment, I was still in, I would say, in a pre-phase of getting out, like a butterfly, getting out of the chrysalis.
Mm.
I thought was a individual journey.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I said, well, you know, where do I start? It's not that I didn't think that God was punishing me. I never thought that, or I did something wrong. I just understood that as a wake-up call. But I would, you know, I wouldn't mind if somebody just sent me a postcard.
Yeah.
Or something like a phone call, a vision, a smoke signal.
Yeah.
But, you know, something softer.
Yeah.
That didn't happen.
Oh, well, that's too bad.
It isn't it?
Yeah.
So, and that time, still, during 8 years, I did the 12 acts of mercy, but as individual journey. And the two last ones was a visit to prisoners and the comfort of the, you know, the comfort calling of the doubtful.
Yeah.
I really battle myself with how I would approach prison issues. And that was what turned my mind around. I start going to groups of support of prisoners and family of prisoners.
Uh-huh.
And I started learning how I could actually help. And things grew so much that nowadays I moderate, own and moderate 7 groups over Yahoo. That deals with prison, movement, prison, support group for families all over U.S. And, what we do is we provide the support that most family of prisoners don't have in case of health issues or, correspondence or where to go to report something. We work as liaisons in various states.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, but I dealt with a lot of prisons, open population. I work with lifers, and I work with death row people. From all of those, I think the hardest ones are the death row. And that's what I became, I would say, that's what I decided to dedicate more my energy was for death row for the simple reason that not that prison, it's not something that people actually just warehouse people and they forget them, but they eventually have some visitors. But in death row, it's very rare, and especially if you are a woman.
Oh.
Statistically, women are less visited than anybody else in prison.
I didn't know that there were women on death row.
Oh, I mean, California has the biggest one.
Wow.
Prison in death row, yes.
Wow.
Most of the girls there are under my care.
Oh, well, good.
And, yes, in death row. And, you know, it's very challenging, and sometimes their sadness is overwhelming. But they need something. They need contact. They still human beings.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And
I guess you're pretty familiar with the idea that the prison system in California and in many states is really a commodity, and it's run as a business.
Oh yes, you have the private prisons, and then we can go on that. And
we could.
Recently, I actually were one of the collaborators of a master thesis on prison system in U.S.
Yeah.
And about, you know, somebody that was doing this big study of what is that we need to do something with the prison system. We need rehabilitation. And nowadays what you have, especially California is, I work with San Quentin and with South Sheila, the two big prisons. South Sheila is for women in death row, and San Quentin, the part of death row, those are the ones that I work closely.
Right.
In California specifically, you know, it's almost a prison nation.
Yeah, exactly.
The statistic in California is between, among 10 families, 6 families have somebody in prison.
Yeah. It's quite a racket. Now, I don't want to get too sidetracked on that because there's so much more interesting stuff going on here.
Oh, sure.
Now, you, and plus, you're just a ball of fire. I mean, you do so many different things. So now, 2001 was 9-1-1, and then you were healing in 2002, 3, 4. When did you meet Chris Buck and actually start brainstorming about humanity healing?
I will let him tell this part because that's his favorite story in the world.
Oh, good. All right.
All right, Chris.
So now we have Chris Buck, who's the co-founder of Humanity Healing Network.
Hi, Zanny.
Hi.
What happened was, I guess about 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, the 28th of March in 2006.
Okay.
Or 2007, I guess.
Seven?
I'm losing track of time here.
Well, it's going faster.
Yes, it is.
I had, I'm a Reiki practitioner, and I had taken an advanced course and had gone onto MySpace. I'd had a friend who a year earlier had decided that she wanted to go into MySpace and meet people, but she didn't want to look like a loser because she had no friends. So what she did is she created pages for everybody she knew and sort of gave them to us and said, by the way, you have a page, do something with it.
Yeah.
And it was more along the lines of, you might want to do something with it quickly because it wasn't necessarily flattering.
Oh.
So, I had gone online and set that up, but I hadn't done anything with it. And after I finished up this one, you know, course with Reiki, I decided, well, maybe I can connect with other Reiki people because I'd had a goal of opening up a group of energetic healers here in the Richmond area to do pro bono work at cancer centers and with hospice care.
Mm.
And so I started going along these lines, and one thing led to another, and I kept seeing this person on everybody's page, it seemed like I went to, with the name Rack.
Mm-hmm.
And, which of course is Leonie. And so I sent her a message and I said, you know, hi, you know, at the time her page was private. And I said, you know, I'd really like to see your page. I see you everywhere. It's, you know, I keep tripping over you. You know, hello. And she writes me back almost immediately and we start talking and I kept saying, you know, I really would like to see the page. And she didn't realize, because we had such a good rapport, that we weren't already friends.
Yeah.
And so finally it was like, oh, would you please just approve me, damn it. And she's like, you mean we're not friends? And it sort of took off from there. Leonie is an incredibly gifted spiritual counselor. Really incredibly gifted. And I like to tease her about the fact that, you know, since I've known her, my circle of reality keeps getting larger in diameter.
Yeah, yeah.
But there is a lot of truth to that.
Yeah.
And what happened is we started trading back and forth. She would run into someone that would need energetic healing, and I would work with them or connect them with one of the people I know. And I would run into people that needed counseling beyond what I, you know, the basic level I could do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was raised as Episcopalian. We're Catholic light, right?
Right. Right.
So I would send them to Leonie. And we ran into this one gentleman. And he wrote Leonie and he said, you know, I'm in the hospital. I'm dying. I've got stage 4 cancer. You know, my prognosis is nil.
Uh-oh.
I'm willing to try anything, but don't ask me to pray because I just don't have any faith. And we kind of, you know, Leonie was on the West Coast at the time, I'm on the East Coast. And we kind of looked each other across the country and it was like, whoa, how do we do this? And so we wrote him a letter that basically said, you know, my friend, you don't have to have faith because we have enough faith for you. And we started working with him and, you know, Leonie, you know, started talking to him in this really incredibly special way she has.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I hooked up everybody I know who did energetic healing, and we work with them. And, you know, about 3 weeks later, we got this email, and it was, you know, I don't know what happened, but my cancer is in remission.
Whoa.
And I'm being discharged tomorrow.
Whoa.
Now, that in itself is pretty incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
But the true miracle of this whole thing was what came next. And that was, I'm reevaluating the tenets of my faith because based on what you've shown me, there has to be more than what I thought there was.
Huh.
And that in itself just really rocked our world.
Wow.
And we realized that by combining spiritual counseling with a healing modality.
Oh, yeah.
We had a much greater chance of success.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, Leonie's like, well, you know, I've got this Yahoo group I haven't done anything with. Let me, like, pull it out of the closet and dust it off because I've been waiting to do something like this.
Yeah.
And, you know, she likes to say that, you know, she had this idea and she kept waiting for someone to do it so she could hop on the wagon and look pretty.
That's true. I hope that.
But nobody would do it. So we dusted it off and we threw it out there and it just kind of took off.
Wow.
It was really incredible. And when you look at and the fact that we're less than 2 years old, but our network is currently right now around 35,000.
My goodness.
The YouTube videos, the inspirational videos that we do, are about 2 million views.
Wow.
The message is getting out there, and it is resonating with a lot of people.
Well, now,
it's a very simple concept that ordinary people can come together and make an extraordinary difference in the world.
Well, that's absolutely true.
Pretty basic.
That's absolutely true. You know, I did the S seminars decades ago, and that was the essence of those teachings, you know, that, you know, about making a difference. And then he picked it up from somebody else, but the bottom line is it works.
Well, the bottom line, it is work. And probably the quote I see out there the most is from Gandhi, which is, be the change you want to see in the world.
Exactly.
And that sounds really good, and a lot of people use it, but not a whole lot of people really
understand the quote.
Yeah.
Well, I have a personal interpretation of that quote. And my understanding, be the change you want to see in the world is also make change in yourself.
Yeah.
And if in the moment that we're living right now, we're all of us are trying to get somewhere and build a new reality to humanity. And all of us are struggling with some symptoms of ascension. And, you know, we kind of get stuck and then we unstuck and the time goes faster and everything comes, you know, to a halt and then comes back and they're like, woo, you are in another moment. It's kind of, you know, this roller coaster.
Yes.
A lot of energy. We have been constantly attuned. To be the change in the world is to work on yourself the best way and heal yourself so you can heal others.
Yes.
To the basic, what is the base philosophy of humanity healing on Yahoo group.
The wounded healer.
The wounded healer.
Yes.
I know you and I can help you. Not from a position that I am, you know, I have pity on you or I don't see, you know, because when you sympathize, you see a person in another way.
Yeah.
When you empathize, you see in the same level. I've been there. I know how you're feeling, and I don't want you to feel this way.
You know, each of us goes through certain stages in life and or goes through certain problems, and we learn from them. We grow. What is important is that you use those experiences to help others when they're going through that same problem. And essentially that's what the Yahoo group was founded on, was the concept of the wounded healer. You know, been there, done that, you're going through it, let me tell you what happened to me, maybe this will help.
Yes, yes.
And we're very blessed. It's an incredible group. We're 860 people right now.
Yes.
And this is kind of like our little core healing group that people, they come in, they leave as they come and go as they need it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really a very good group. And if there is a problem or if you have an issue or you need healing, this is truly a wonderful group of people to work with. They're very compassionate. They're, you know, very caring. They're very vocal. There are times they're a little too vocal, and we say, okay, everyone, just put it on Daily Digest, otherwise you're going to get 4 zillion emails.
we can be a pretty shoddy family sometimes. But you know that.
Yes, I do.
You know how it goes. You know.
Well, you happen to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he has his own, his own group too, and you know how they can go chatty, and you just go and stand as people please, you know,
yeah.
When they talk too much. Oh God, when they talk in the background too, and it's just overwhelming, but it's wonderful.
But it truly has been a blessing to work with these incredible healers and these incredible people.
Now, just so that the listeners know, that Yahoo group that you're talking about now is called Humanity Healing.
Yes, Humanity Healing, one word. If you go to the Yahoo groups and you search for Humanity Healing, it's right there. The URL itself is a little long. It's health.groups.yahoo.com/group/humanity-healing. But if you just go to groups at Yahoo and you search for Humanity Healing, one word, it will come up.
And also, for those who are interested in my group, because, you know, you mentioned my group as well, and I don't want people to say, why doesn't he tell what... He didn't mention what he said, my group. My group that I have at Yahoo is called Awakening Cosmic Consciousness. So there you have it. And I'm in Liani's group, and she's
and
in
I am
my
in his group.
So
and,
family. It is a family. It's like old friends, old soulmates, old family coming together for a common purpose. Now,
and truly, what you're hitting on there is much more of a fundamental truth than as it sounds. Many people are coming together, particularly in different soul families.
Yes. Yes.
And we're coming together for a purpose. Humanity is growing.
Spiritually.
I had a person who wrote me the other day, and it was like, you know, I'm really terrified about what the heck's going on with 2012, and I'm stressing out about it. Can you tell me what's going to happen? And I was like, all right, first of all, don't stress about 2012. It's not a big deal. Okay. You know, 2012 is the end of the Mayan calendar, okay? Which meant for the Mayans, that was the end of the world, okay? But that wasn't necessarily the end of humanity.
Right.
That was just the end of an era
cycle.
For the Mayans, an end of a cycle.
And it's not the first time it's happened either.
What 2012 is a benchmark. Humanity is growing. Humanity is evolving. And 2012 is a benchmark or a milestone in our evolution as a species to stop and look at yourself and see if we, you know, have evolved to the point that we're supposed to evolve at this time. And she was like, oh, okay, no problem. I'm not going to worry about it, which you shouldn't.
Well,
but
on the other hand,
before I don't want to interrupt you, but I have to say, anyone really interested in high directed knowledge and a very, you know, familiar discussion on everything should go to Zeni's group because it's great.
Oh, absolutely.
The interaction there is just incredible, and the people have such good sense of humor and, you know, it is a family, and the brotherhood you can feel inside is just incredible.
Oh, thank you. I do appreciate that. you threw me off momentarily.
Oh, okay. I love your group, Zeni. When I start this, I went to many other groups, and being part of many groups, another person that I really admire a lot is Cindy.
I love Cindy.
Yeah, she is incredible, and I would say that she was my e-mama, even though she
was my
know
yes, she was that for me too. Yeah,
she was a big e-mama to me.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And but you are one of the groups that I receive individual emails because.
Wow.
You know, I go through all of them.
Well, I appreciate it. And you've been in the group for several years now.
Yes.
One thing that was, we were talking about ascension in 2012, which I think is important. One of the things that we're here to assist with, I think, is the healing, which is an aspect that you're addressing now, and we all need to address, but this is an accelerated time as well. So
yes,
there are, it's a time when I think that we need to pay attention to being in the moment and looking at our own issues and taking responsibility for our lives.
Yes. And one of the things that, you know, one of the initiatives, we perceive this as a need, as any soul intending to reach another level and go to another level of existence or consciousness or reality. We need to self-master ourselves.
Yes.
And this is one of the reasons that we are offering a course over Humanity Healing Network, a course that we call Attitudinal Tools Self-Mastery.
Ah.
It's a free course. It's composed of 64 modules with attitudes or how to face and how to reprogram yourself based on attitudes.
Oh.
For instance, it's one of the, you know, we have 5 weeks now, this course. It's an ongoing course, and anybody can join anytime because none of the lessons are necessarily connected. They were not sequential. So you can start at any point.
Oh, good.
And it won't damage. What it makes in contact is what really means and how you prepare to answer things in your life, not react to things,
yeah,
but actually make a conscious movement.
The key is to be proactive, not reactive.
Yes, very good.
And the courses that we've had, or the modules that we've had so far, have been transparency, generosity, tolerance, and curative or healing, and this week's is going to be reverence.
Wow. I would definitely throw in some integrity in there somewhere.
Oh, no, integrity is coming.
That's one of the modules.
Telling of the truth, because without that bottom line, you don't have anything.
One of the things, for instance, when you talk about generosity and how to be more generous,
yes,
people have a really different idea of generosity, what actually generosity is. Generosity is a gift. But there's many facets to that. Just to give an idea of how it works, the attitudinal course. You get in contact with generosity. Some people give so much to the point that they hurt themselves.
Yes, right. That's right.
This is not generosity.
No.
Because if you are generous to somebody, but you're not generous to yourself,
yes,
that's not generosity.
Absolutely right.
The generosity has two, it's a road with two ways. It's not only to give, but generosity is always learning how to receive.
Yeah, absolutely.
And for this, you know, it's really hard. You think, no, that's, you know, that's a snap. It's not.
It's not.
It is not. And then we have exercises, and we have me accompany actually our group now, our classes, as at least I think it's 187 people doing this course over the network.
Wonderful.
Weekly. Another aspect of generosity, which I think is the most difficult one, is generosity of spirit, which is the highest manifestation of the gift of generosity, is the ability to be happy for other people.
Yes.
It's very easy to, you know, feel sorry for somebody when they're going through a tough time and want to help them.
Yes.
But it is much more difficult when someone is, you know, wins the lottery or gets a promotion or this sort of thing.
Yeah.
To be truly open, loving, and happy for that person.
Yeah.
Without that, you know, hey, I should have picked that lottery number, or that promotion should have been mine.
Yeah, absolutely. You hit the nail right on the head with that one.
Well, generosity of spirit is really very difficult. As simple as it sounds, it's very difficult to manifest.
Well,
to,
it's multifaceted.
To truly manifest in all its levels.
Yeah, yeah. Now, one of the things that we haven't talked about yet about your Humanity Healing Network is that you also act as a kind of a liaison to empower people's visions. If I recall correctly, you take people's visions. Let's say somebody wants to start a borderless doctors in Brazil,
yes,
and you actually help them hook up with other people who can empower that person, and they are able to form their own, to see their vision come true. Isn't that a part of what you do as well?
Yeah. It's the concept of humanity healing was to be a umbrella. To create, actually, what you call a grid, but a grid of people, like-minded people, that would be competent enough and empowering enough to support, help, and launch others' dreams.
Yeah.
We're not here to reinvent the wheel, you know.
Right, right.
there are a tremendous amount of wonderful ideas out there to help humanity, to heal the you know, to heal ourselves.
Yes.
As a whole. And it's, one person might have over here, it's like, look, I've got this idea to do X. You know, but I can't really get it off the ground, or I'm not sure what to do next. Well, we might have someone over here in a neighboring town, or in a neighboring state that's doing something similar or something complementary.
Right.
And by connecting those two together, they're able to make that dream manifest.
Yes.
You know, humanity healing is really nothing more than a means to an end.
Yes. Well, that, I think that's a wonderful concept. And do you have people who also open up and start talking about their inner experiences that they thought were so unique that nobody else was having them and they were afraid to share about, like seeing spirits or anything like that?
Oh, most definitely.
We have groups full of that.
Yeah,
we have, it's interesting. We have, you know, a lot of gifted people, and most of those people now are working. Actually, we just have a new class and a new group uniting now, and we are doing this with another group of people out of Chicago, amazingly enough, the Mediums Inc. They're paranormal people from various backgrounds that work with the police of Chicago to find missing kids. Or missing people, or abducted people, or solve crime.
I've done some of that before. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, isn't that?
It's fascinating.
It's fascinating. And they're working with us right now. We have 49 gifted people. They're working together to build this big network of help, not only sending healing. But, you know, an interesting thing that we had an association with Mediums Inc. is that they are developing a school for kids that went through the traumatic experience.
That are gifted.
And it, you know, for some reason, the trauma triggers something in their soul, and they're going through shamanic procedures. They're going to all sorts of different type of healing, and that's where we enter their project to, you know, giving the background of our healers that volunteer to work with those children.
Wow.
So, you know, it's not really unusual to have somebody that, you know, and we have amazing channelers, like you have an amazing channeler on your group, Magenta Pixie.
Oh, yes, she's wonderful.
So,
I was thrilled when she was on the show and then joined the group, and she just continues to amaze me with her information.
Yes, you know, so you know how things work. It's not unusual
right.
to come somebody sharing that, like, okay, So, but, you know, I think that everybody that's involved with spirituality and with this contact that we have been having and this extra help from this diverse realms, we cannot say that this is, you know, nothing that's human is unknown to me.
Yes, and speaking of that, it's not all pretty fluffy bunny stuff either. There are many people who have gone through years of sexual abuse from parents, fathers, whatever, brothers, sisters, been beaten, emotionally abused, and that's all part of the healing process too, isn't it? It needs to come up and be released.
Absolutely. It's, you know, there are groups that work on the ascension of humanity for lots of levels. Humanity Healing is kind of an in the trenches group.
Yeah.
And we set up the organization based on 10 gifts of the spirit and 2 fruits of the spirit. Now this is coming from you know, the terminology gifts of the Spirit, it may be based on Christian teaching, having to do with the Sermon on the Mount, but the concept spanned, you know, many religions and many spiritual practices.
Right, right.
And the houses of humanity healing, and there are 12 of them, are healing, faith, compassion, wisdom, hope, which is where the, you know, domestic violence and family abuse and some of the projects we're working on with homeless shelters and things like that.
Suicide prevention.
Oh yes, that's important.
You know, creation, because, you know, the creative spirit is incredibly healing.
Art.
We've got, you know, the House of Counsel, the House of Knowledge, the House of Justice, and the House of Reconciliation, which is where Leonie does the work.
With
prison ministries. And we've also got two fruit of the Spirit, which is kindness and peace. We see these 12 houses as the areas through which, you know, humanity can be healed. That sounds very broad and very all-encompassing, but the truth is that it's, if you break it down into small bites, it's a whole lot easier to handle. Plus the fact there's an incredible amount of wonderful people out there with goodwill that are taking these little bites at a time and advancing us along the road.
Well, small steps, Ellie, small steps.
Yeah.
And really, you know, it's like we joke or, you know, we talk about it, but it's, you know, we're just here to help others make a difference.
There was something that you both brought up, have mentioned, and I kind of wanted to touch upon it because it's an important subject for today. And that is, what are your views on the 2012 process, the ascension process, and how time is speeding up, from now forward? Do you see, how do you perceive 2009 and going forward?
Well, I can tell you astrologically, we are going to have a extreme powerful expectation in the sky around June of next year. But, you know, all expectations, they always start, you know, announcing themselves months before.
Oh, yeah.
It will be a very powerful expectation with Chiron, which is, you know, actually an asteroid, but has a big influence on healing.
Yes, that's the wounded healer, isn't it?
Yes, that's the wounded healer.
Yeah.
That's the wounded healer. And with Saturn and Uranus, and it will be so powerful. It's an affectation that happened, I think, 287 years ago.
Whoa. And that's in June 2009?
Yes. I can even send it to your group.
Oh, yeah, they will post it on your group.
Yeah.
Well, give us a little warning, okay?
Yeah. Well, we were thinking to do that because you know, those big planets, what you call exterior planets, like Jupiter and Uranus and Pluto. They're sure, you know, I still think Pluto is a planet.
I
miss Pluto. People are just like, come on, people.
That's okay. Pluto still thinks of itself as a planet.
Yeah, I know. And then here's the conjunction. You have this expectation, and it's so powerful because we'll affect the exterior planets. They don't necessarily impact too much the individual. They impact generation.
Wow.
And those two, Jupiter, which is the knowledge, Uranus, the huge transformation, and Chiron will be doing the connection with this, and Saturn. I don't have right now, I have been doing a lot of karmic mapping lately, so all the numbers and conjunctions are, expectations are kind of dancing in my head. But I can give you exactly what are the expectations and what it means to mankind. Now, in a global level, is we either get our act together as a human race or not. We're going to have a very division of waters, like almost like Moses in June of next year. We have to get together and do it because if we are going to ascend, we are going to ascend as one. We cannot ascend ourselves like, I don't know. I'm not quite sure those people make the cut. Like, we had some people come us like, why you guys bother with certain type of people? They're not going to make the cut.
Humanity, we believe in the law of one.
Yes.
You know, it's all of us. It's not just part of us or the people on this continent or the people of that continent. It's all of us as humanity.
It's the whole ball of wax.
Yeah. And it's like in the same spirit that Marianne Williamson talks about. If we don't have this connection with each other, you know, it's not only Earth or only certain species of animals that will go through extinction. We are too.
Yes.
We are fated to extinction. So it's something, and it's a really deep questioning of what is the purpose of your soul here.
Yes.
And this is going out not only for light workers, but all the star seeds, all the angelic humans, all the other kins, and this diversity of people. Of course, we're classifying each other, you know, I am this, I'm that.
Right.
But by the nuances and the differences of energy that we vibrate, but basically, you know, we are one. We can be so star-seeded, you know, human, but we still under human spirits. And as human spirits, we either go or we leave. So this expectation, I cannot say I can look more into it and see actually where in the places in the world that this will impact. But basically, the message is, you guys get your message, or, you know, get your act together, clean up, and let's work it. The time is now. We together, we can, or we no go nowhere.
Well, that's the perfect time for us to segue out of the show.
Yeah. I know. 1 minute.
1 minute to go. Well, I will point out, was while Leonie's mentioning about starseeds here, we will be having a new video coming out on our YouTube site about starseeds.
Okay.
And a little bit more about them.
And
but,
your Humanity Healing site is www.humanityhealing.ning.com, right?
Yes, that's the social network.
Okay.
And the main website is www.humanityhealing.net.
Okay.
Or humanityhealing.network.
And humanityhealing.org. We have also the organization. We have a foundation.
Wonderful.
That's our nonprofit, is
and
the .org.
And your YouTube video site, what's the www to that?
Okay.
Let me tell you real quick.
Humanity Healing.
Okay.
YouTube Humanity Healing.
Okay.
As one word.
Okay, good. All right.
Yes, exactly. www.youtube.com/humanityhealing.
Wonderful. Well, Leonie and Chris,
yes.
Thank you so much for being on the show today. You two are just a miraculous and wonderful people.
Oh,
and I can't give you enough praise for the work that you're doing. It's overwhelmingly beautiful, and it comes from the heart, I know. So thank you both for being here tonight.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak.
Don't make me cry, Zanny.
You wear the pants in the family, don't you?
I know. Bless your heart.
Okay.
And thank you, everybody that participated. Don't forget, go to Zanny's group. It's a very good group, Awakening Cosmic Consciousness. It's a wonderful group. You cannot lose it.
Oh, thanks a million.
You're most welcome.
All right. I'll see you kids around the block then.
All right.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Bless you. Bye.
Bye.